Welcome to Between the Lines, where we journey beyond the surface of Scripture with hosts David and Jonathan. Get ready to deepen your faith as we uncover the hidden gems of the Bible. Without further ado, here's our show.
All right, you're here with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, WVFF 97.7. Glad you could be with us here in God's Word. Any day in God's Word is a good day. We are in 2 Samuel chapter 20. We always give you a brief recap of how we got to where we are. You know, you please go and catch at least episode 1 on WVFFradio.com. It's WVFFradio.com. You're going to hear a lot of stuff that you haven't heard in church simply because preachers don't always read their Bible, and a lot of times they just preach what they've been taught all their lives. The Bible has a lot of things in it that you don't hear in church every day. And you need to take the Bible in its totality. Because if you read the entire thing and understand a majority of it, science and the Bible go together lock and step. Satan has reasons to keep science and the Bible apart. Just like this is not the first time mankind has been here on this earth. Yes, those fossils are millions of years old. And yes, the line of Adam has only been here maybe 8,000 years. Those are both true statements. And it's right here in the Bible. And catch episode 1, and you'll catch a lot of things that you didn't really find out in church. And I will not say it if I cannot back it up in black and white right here. Like I said, we're in 2 Samuel. We've gone through, you know, the Adamic line. And all the way through the patriarchs, God gave Abraham the first covenant, and it was not the Ten Commandments. I don't care what pastor said. You got to look real close. God said to Abraham, one day I make a covenant with you. Follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. How simple is that? The actual Ten Commandments and the Levitical law was given to the children of Israel when they left Egypt because they showed God they could not follow him with all their heart. And, well, I mean, they circumcised their children, but that's the thing you do in the flesh. That's the easy part. Don't we all do the easy stuff? It's the hard part is following God with the spirit man. God says, I place the spirit in the heart of man, and the mind of man is contrary to the will of God, and the flesh is an abomination. So it's up to the spirit man to take control of the mind and guide this flesh in a pathway that's aimed at God. He doesn't expect you to be perfect. That's why he sent his son to reestablish the first covenant, who is follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. Jesus says, follow me, follow God with all your heart and be baptized. I tell you what, nothing you do with your hands or with your mouth ever means a thing. I don't care how many times you get up in church and say, I believe, I believe, I believe. It's the heart that God will read one day when you go and stand before him. It's the heart. I spoke with a man that was dying one time, and I led him as preachers do in the prayer. He said, afterwards, he says, that's it. And I'm thinking in my head, there's so much more. That's not it. Doesn't matter what you say with your mouth. You know, the heart is what matters. And if you need to understand that, you look at the story in 1 Samuel of King Saul. King Saul, God's anointed man, ended up waging war against God. But there is evidence in the end of 1 Samuel that once your heart follows God, there's no way it can change. This flesh may become an abomination just like Saul's flesh did. But occasionally the heart of Saul would take control and show that he was still in there fighting. That's what God is going to read one day because it's black and white. After Saul waged war against God, the ghost of Samuel, who had been conjured up by the witch of Endor at Saul's request, said, you know what, Saul, it doesn't matter what happens tomorrow, because tomorrow you're going to be here with me. And Samuel was in paradise. So we see that the heart is where the eternal salvation comes from. So the children of Israel came out of Egypt, could not follow God's simple covenant of follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. He laid the law on them like a good father does. You don't want to do it the easy way. We're going to do it the hard way then, children. The law is a horrible binding resolution, statute upon law upon law that ends in bondage and death. It was made for the purpose of forcing them to come to the understanding that they don't want to live like that. And so many Christians today confess Jesus Christ and still try to hold on to the abomination of the law. And I'll tell you what you're telling Christ, if you do that, the Bible says you hold on to one tittle of the law, you must keep it all. There is no one person except Jesus Christ was able to keep the law. It's impossible. You can sin accidentally. You can sin without even knowing it. It's that complex. And God made it that way to show you there's nothing that you can do to make yourself holy. Nothing whatsoever. And you tell Jesus Christ, if you confess Jesus Christ and you hold on to a piece of the law, you're telling him, you know, I like that gesture you made on the cross there, Christ. The whole thing sounds really good, your sacrifice and the blood and the cleansing, but it just wasn't quite good enough. I wish you'd have kept some of the law in there so I can make myself feel holy by doing things with my hands. Don't tell Jesus Christ what he done wasn't good enough, because it was more than good enough. It was a sacrifice by God himself. So we're in chapter 20. Children of Israel came out of Egypt. They could not keep the simplicity of the first covenant. God laid the law on them. Then they asked for a king. And we got King Saul. That didn't work out very well. Go back a few episodes. A very interesting story. And now we are into King David. David's kingdom had just fallen apart because of his affair with Bathsheba and his murder of Uriah. And God put a curse on his family. He said, strife will come from inside your family, and the sword will never leave your family line. Still today, Israel is fighting in the Middle East right now because of the sin of the father, David. He said, the sword will never leave your family line. So his son tried to take over the kingdom. David was far from God at that moment, and he didn't bother asking God's understanding of what to do. He just said, run away, run away. And they all got up and ran away, and they deserted Jerusalem. And his son came in to rule. And it all came around to where David is back in control of the kingdom. Judah has accepted him. And Israel is kind of on the fence right now. That's where we are in chapter 20. Let's start here. And there happened to be there a man of Belial. Yeah, we talk about the original SOB. That comes from the Bible, you know. Sons of Belial. It's in here. That means a worthless person. There happened to be a man of Belial whose name was Sheba, the son of Bichri, a Benjamite. And he blew a trumpet and said, we have no part in David. So this is Israel now, because Judah has already accepted their king back. Half of Israel kind of did, but it's not official yet. I said, we have no part in David, neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. And David is a Benjamite. This is a man of his own family. No, excuse me. David's king of Judah. Saul was a Benjamite, excuse me. Get a little carried away there. We have no part in David, neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to his tents. So we're not going to follow you, King David. We're leaving. So every man of Israel went up from after David and followed Sheba, the son of Bichri. But the men of Judah clave unto their king from Jordan even to Jerusalem. And David came to his house in Jerusalem. And the king took the 10 women, his concubine, whom he had left to keep his house, and put them in the ward and fed them. It's okay. You remember Jonathan? Mm-hmm. He left. He ran. I mean, they bailed out. They said, all right, you 10 women, you stay here and keep the house, okay? Yep. You'll be good. You'll be fine. Yep. We're just going to go over there. So his son comes, sets up a tent on top of the house, and then takes each concubine in and has relations with her, so the entire community can see. These poor women will suffer, and it was not even their fault. They were caught in the middle of a political dispute. But went not into them, and put them in ward, and fed them, but went not into them. So he's not going to touch them. So they were shut up unto the day of their death, living in widowhood. How sad is that? The sins of the nation affect everyone. Then said the king to Amasa, assemble me the men of Judah within 3 days, and be thou here present. And Amasa went and assembled the men of Judah, but he tarried longer than the set time which he had appointed him. And David said to Abishai, now shall Sheba the son of Bichri do us more harm than Absalom? Take thou thy Lord's servants and pursue after him, lest he get fenced cities and escape us. So David says, take some men and go round up that son of Belial before he has time to make an entire confrontation among the people. Get out there and spread all sorts of dismay. And there went out after him Joab's men and the Cherethites and the Pelethites and all the mighty men, and they went out of Jerusalem and pursue after Sheba the son of Bichri. When they were at the great stone which is in Gibeon, Amasa went before them, and Joab's garment that he had put on was girded unto him, and upon it a girdle with a sword fastened upon his loins and the sheath thereof, and as he went forth it fell out. And Joab said to Amasa, art thou in health, my brother? And Joab took Amasa by the hand, by the beard, with the right hand to kiss him. And Amasa took no heed to the sword that was in Joab's hand, so he smote him therewith in the fifth rib, and shed out his bowels on the ground, and struck him not again, and he died. So Joab and Abishai, his brother, pursued after Sheba, the son of Bichri. And one of Joab's men stood by him and said, he that favoreth Joab, and he that is for David, let him go after Joab. And Amasa wallowed in the blood of the midst of the highway. And when the man saw that all the people stood still, he removed Amasa out of the highway into the field and cast a cloth upon him. When he saw that everyone that came by him stood still, when he was removed out of the highway, all the people went on after Joab to pursue after Sheba the son of Bichri. And he went through all the tribes of Israel unto Abel and to Beth Mitzah and all of the Barites, and they were gathered together and went also after him. And they came and besieged him in Abel of Beth Mitzah. Oh, these names. I've read this book 100 times through, and these names still throw your tongue into a twist. And they cast up a bank against the city and stood in the trench, and all the people that were with Joab battered the wall to throw it down. Then cried a wise woman out of the city, hear, hear, say, I pray you, unto Joab, come near hither, that I may speak with thee. Ah, always watch out for them women. And when he came near unto her, the woman said, art thou Joab? And he answered, I am he. And she said unto him, hear the words of thine handmaid. And he answered, I do hear. And she spake, saying, they were wont to speak in old times, saying, they shall surely ask counsel at Abel. And so they ended the matter. I am one of them that are peaceable and faithful in Israel. Thou seekest to destroy a city and a mother in Israel. Why wilt thou wallow up the inheritance of the Lord? So she's asking mercy for the city. And Joab answered and said, far be it from me that I should swallow up or destroy. The matter is not so. But a man of Mount Ephraim, Sheba, the son of Bichri, by name, hath lifted up his hand against the king, even against David. Deliver him only, and I will depart from the city. And the woman said unto Joab, behold, his head shall be thrown to thee over the wall. Ah! Then the woman went unto all the people of the wisdom, and they cut off the head of Sheba the son of Bichri, and cast it out to Joab, and he blew a trumpet, and they retired from the city, every man to his tent. And Joab returned to Jerusalem unto the king. Now Joab was over all the host of Israel, and Benai, and the son of Jehoiada, was over the Cherethites and over the Pelethites, and Adoran was over the tribute, and Jehoshaphat, the son of Ahilud, was recorder, and Sheba was scribe, and Zadok, and Abiathar were the priests, and Ira also, the Jerite, was the chief ruler about David. So David basically got the kingdom back together again. The last little troublemaker seems to be put down, and Joab is in charge of his army. Remember, Joab has some skeletons in his closet. Catch those earlier episodes and you'll see, and you won't have any question of why Joab ends the way he does shortly hereafter. Then there was a famine in the days of David, three years, year after year, and David inquired of the Lord. David's heart is following after God again after his kingdom has been restored. And the Lord answered, "It is for Saul and for his bloody house, because he slew the Gibeonites." So the nation is still paying for the sins of Saul, America. We pay for the sins in this life. Jesus died to make the spirit man holy. He's the only one that's going to stand before God. This flesh is not. You sin, you will pay for it in the flesh through pain and disease and sickness. What did Jesus say? And political problems in your nation. What did Jesus say to the man he healed? He said, "Go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee." And the king called the Gibeonites and said unto them, "Now, the Gibeonites were not of the children of Israel, but of the remnant of the Amorites. And the children of Israel had sworn unto them, and Saul sought to slay them in his zeal to the children of Israel and Judah. Wherefore David said unto the Gibeonites, 'What shall I do for you? Wherewith shall I make an atonement, that ye may bless the inheritance of the Lord?'" So he asked God, what's going on? Why is this famine? He says, because of what Saul did to these people. So David goes to these folks, says, "What can we do to atone for the sins of our nation?" The Gibeonites said unto him, "We will have no silver nor gold of Saul, nor of his house, neither for us shalt thou kill any man in Israel." And he said, "What ye shall say, that will I do for you." And they answered the king, "The man that consumed us and that devised against us that we should be destroyed from remaining in the coast of Israel, let 7 men of his sons be delivered unto us, and we will hang them up upon the Lord in Gibeah of Saul, whom the Lord did choose." And the king said, "I will give them." David had made a promise to Jonathan, Saul's son. "Don't extinguish my lines." David is giving in here a little bit. Quite sure how many sons Saul has left. And that term sons doesn't mean physical sons of Saul, grandchildren, you know, nephews, nieces, lines of Saul. Mm-hmm. "But the king spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because of the Lord's oath that was between them, between David and Jonathan, the son of Saul. But the king took the 2 sons, Arispa, the daughter of Ai, whom she bare unto Saul, Ammoni, and Mephibosheth, and the 5 sons of Michael, and the daughter of Saul, whom she brought up for Adriel, the son of Barzillia, the Mehethoite. And he delivered them into the hands of the Gibeonites." And they're probably saying, "What did we do?" Not what you did, what your father did. Oh my gosh. "I curse those to the 3rd and 4th generation of those who hate me. Saul waged war on God. Now his children are paying." Christian, be careful what kind of doors you open in life. You know, I always say this life is like you're walking down a hallway and there are doors on both sides. Some doors are good, some doors are bad, some doors are evil. Be careful which ones you open, because your children are walking that same hallway right behind you. And sometimes those doors don't shut very easily.
We'll be back with more spiritual insights on Between the Lines after a brief message from our sponsors. Stay tuned.